We are back yet again for another episode of Consider Dead Podcast. This week we got something special and dear to Dead King and my heart. We're doing 80s this week. Doing 80s music. We're going to start off with the Human League.
Don't you want me, baby?
Brian, I think that's a good quintessential 80s song.
We're recording? I was looking at the floor for a good while. I wasn't sure where we're going to start. Oh, so we're starting,
yeah? Yeah, it's been recording.
Well, welcome back to Consider Dead. What was the song again?
Don't you want me, baby?
Oh, yeah. No, I like that song.
Yeah, it's like the perfect 80s song.
I used to hear that one all the time.
Yeah.
Can't forget that one.
So, you guys heard at the very beginning of the podcast, we got our boy Danny, really good guitar player. We got him to do our own signature
It's like a little theme song.
Yeah, our own theme song to our podcast.
Yeah, we're gonna make a music video where like we're running, and then like we're jumping, and okay, we're not gonna make a music video. Yeah, we're not like, making a music video. I just thought of like the X-Men, you know, like the X-Men theme. Yeah, they were running and shit, breaking through boxes,
destroying the Sentinels.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, I hope everyone's doing well. You know, today is a Saturday for us, and I don't know what day it is for you guys.
Yeah,
but I like to think
Saturday morning.
It could be a Saturday for you too if you just listen to a Saturday, or it could be a Monday or Tuesday.
People are working, have to work on the weekends.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't work on the weekends.
Me neither.
Oh, hey, what's up? We should be friends.
Right?
Let's do it.
But yeah, so we're doing 80s this week. I love 80s. I love 80s music. It's probably my favorite decade of music.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happened there in the 80s. A bunch of genres that came
out. Yeah, like it's only like breakthrough music, like, you know, the thrash metal scene.
Thrash metal, we got like funky, like pop stuff. It was like a bunch of rap. It was the 80s was like crazy.
It was like a transition from like disco to like electronic music.
Yeah, and then the pianos, the synths, all those little things.
Oh, yeah. The guitar pianos, what are they called?
The Star Wars, the synths. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
The Sith.
Like what Van Halen did?
Oh, yeah, Van Halen. And that's when he started doing the tapping. He started that tapping thing.
Well, I think he started doing the tapping back in the 70s, the finger tapping.
Yeah, but it didn't get popular until when he released that album. And they started doing the tapping. You know, he's like, and he does like the little tricks. He inspired a lot of people to start playing like him. It was very unique at the time.
And he even played with Michael Jackson. He did the solo.
Yeah.
That was a sick ass fucking solo.
That was a sick solo, bro. Michael Jackson knew he had to get that guy. He was doing something right.
Michael Jackson was the boss back then.
It's crazy because, you know, he was a little kid and he sang all those love songs.
And then he grew up like this to this musical genius working with, what's his name? Percy Jones? No.
Is that what it was?
Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones.
Quincy!
They made the Thriller album. They also did the one before that, Off the Wall album.
I just like how he just came out of nowhere. He's like, yeah, I don't want to be my brothers anymore.
I know, right? They're just like...
And they're all like, please be with us. And he was like, nah, I'm cool. He got tired of them.
I think it was according to the... you know, remember that VH1 movie that came out on him? Like the four-hour movie? Mm-hmm. The Jacksons?
That was a dope movie.
Yeah, like the brothers forced him to go on tour with them once the Thriller album came out. So during the tour, he had to sing his Thriller album and also do the Jackson 5 performance as well.
That's lame.
I know, make him do extra work. They just want to mooch off his fame.
Yeah, they just wanted to start touring.
It was a reunion tour that they were doing at the same time, along with his Thriller tour.
Mm-hmm. That's lame.
Yeah,
I thought we wanted to do his own thing, and then these guys just came out of nowhere. But I don't know, but it's a trip to see how a lot of these musicians like started transitioning. Because, like, speaking of Michael Jackson, like it's like Ozzy when he came from, you know, like Black Sabbath, and then he went Ozzy. He went his own.
Yeah, Ozzy, then he Osbourne. Got what's his name, the guitar player. It was Randy Rhoads. That's the guitarist he picked up from Quiet Riot.
All right, yeah, that guy's.
Yeah, I guess Quiet Riot wasn't really. Randy Rhoads couldn't really explode or do what he wanted to do as a guitar player, so he joined Ozzy, and he was like an angel of a guitar player, man.
No, but it's like, as a musician, like, it gives you a chance to, like, I don't know, it's like, take a chance, you know? Like, I know you got this one band that's successful, like, they're doing good. It wasn't like the band wasn't doing bad.
Yeah, they were successful.
They were successful, but it's just like, you know, sometimes you want to go upbeat. You want to go a little faster. You want to go slower. You know how some bands, they play so fast, aggressively, and then they go to a slow, really slow band. It's like...
Yeah, but I feel like, though, with Ozzy, like, Ozzy just let him do his own thing. I mean, look what he did with Crazy Train.
Mm-hmm. No, but then he knew how wild Ozzy was, too. It's like, the energy is there.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a beast on stage. He's like, jumping around.
Biting off bats' heads.
Snorting ants or something. Like,
oh, yeah.
Supposedly, what band was it that they said that they saw him do that?
Oh, it was on that Netflix movie.
Was it Motley Crue? Yeah.
Motley Crue, yeah.
Supposedly they said that he did that.
Made him snort ants.
Oh, yeah. Fucking Ozzy.
I don't even know that guy's still alive.
He's the guy everyone thought he was going to, like...
He's going to die a long time ago.
A long time ago, but he's been around, man.
Immortal.
Pretty much. But it's going to be sad when he goes, bro.
He's still performing, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but they said that... a lot of people said that he might retire, like, in a couple years.
You know, probably. That guy's still going. No, it was just like Ozfest, too.
He's just like the guitarist from Black Sabbath. I forget his name, the older guy. He was already like in his 30s, and then Ozzy was like only 18, 19 when he was in the band, like at least 20. The oldest I'll say that he was when he was in Black Sabbath. And yeah, the other guy was already like late 20s and early 30s, and that guy's ancient, you know? So it's like, it's crazy to be like, oh, let's do a tour.
You know, I come out in crutches.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, like, you know, and there's like, who was the solo artist?
That's like the 80s, like, just gave the artists like a new
chance to be,
do their own thing, experiment the new sounds that were coming out.
Like, what was it, Prince?
Oh, Prince. Yeah, he started in the 70s too, but he didn't really take off until the 80s.
Yeah, but like,
especially with the movie Purple Rain.
He was a good guitarist too.
Oh my god, that guy was an amazing guitarist. Like, yeah. He could play, like, I think after he died, they said he can play like 20 something instruments, like, professionally.
Oh, that's good.
The guy was like a musical genius.
Yeah, he loved to play, huh?
But Purple Rain, that was that's what really made him explode, that whole soundtrack.
Was it that one that got him up there?
Yeah.
Who gave him that? Like, you would think to be like, hey, can you write the whole song? Like, all the songs and shit?
Like, I got this. He also did the Batman soundtrack.
Batman?
It was all his music, yeah.
Which one?
The first Batman.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh, the shit. Tim Burton one. He did the soundtrack for it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's all his music.
That's so dope. Yeah, but...
Speaking of Prince, we're actually going to play Little Red Corvette for you guys. That's one of my favorite songs by Prince.
I like chicken.
I guess I should know by the way you popped your car sideways at a wooden mat. You're the kind of person that believes in making out once, love them and leave them fast. I guess I must be dumb. Get a pocket full of horses, Trojan and some of them used. But it was Saturday night, I guess that makes it alright. You see, what have I got to lose? And honey, I say, little red Corvette, baby, you're much too fast. Little red Corvette, you need a love that's gonna last. Guess I should close my eyes when you drove me to the place where your horses run free. 'Cause I felt a little ill when I saw all the pictures of the jockeys that were there before me. Believe it or not, I started to worry. I wondered if I had enough class. But it was Saturday night. Try to tame your little red love machine. Little red Corvette, baby, it was too fast. Little red Corvette, need to find a love that's gonna last. Little red Corvette, honey, you got to slow down.
Got to slow down.
Little red Corvette, 'cause if you're done,
You know, I went to Vegas this one time. It was actually like right around the time when Prince died, and I went to his they have a couple of them, but it was what are they called, the tribute shows? No.
Yeah, they do a lot of those
tributes. Yeah, there was a Prince tribute show, but it's like it's something that's always there. Oh, and, right. And they have this guy that looks like Prince come out and sing. Actually, he sang all the Purple Rain songs. They pretty much reenacted the whole movie on stage, and they did a live performances of all the songs. They're really good.
Oh, that's dope.
I think I was the youngest cat there. A lot of older people.
Imagine going to Vegas. They just opened it.
Oh, they just reopened Vegas?
Yeah, I saw people going to Vegas already.
Damn. Oh, you were supposed to play in Vegas, too.
Yeah, we were supposed to play in Vegas in May, but that got rescheduled to September, so we'll see how we do. So we're going to play for COVID, and then we're going to play for the people.
Well, I can't wait. I was ready to go to Vegas.
What better excuse to go to Vegas?
Right.
We're going to go play and gamble and drink.
Those strip clubs.
Strip clubs.
Lose all my money.
Don't let my wife listen to this part.
You know what else was big in the 80s? Glam metal. You know, you saw the rise of like glam bands.
Like Motley Crue.
Motley Crue and Twisted Sister. You know, they just had long ass hair and put girly makeup on.
There was a lot of bands like that. Was it supposedly like Pantera's first band was like that?
Oh yeah.
Supposedly, I forgot what they were called before. But they were like trying to go for that glam and they were like, yeah, this ain't working. And they went to, they became Pantera.
And tight jeans, tight leather jeans.
Yeah, the whole look, the whole glam.
Hairspray.
They're cutting. What, they're giving themselves bangs, right?
Bangs?
Whether they cut their hair right here. Yeah, they cut their hair short, so they got it like right here. No?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, they cut their hair like
that. They always had long hair. What are you talking?
Yeah, but they'll cut it like that so they can have their hair all funky.
Oh, I see. To kind of like do like a wave.
Yeah, that wave. They like, so it's like you know how like layers. It's like,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
They'll cut the, give them some bangs and all that.
Imagine if your band was like that, Bali Ruin.
We could pull it off.
Yeah, it'd be a glam. What would you call it? A glam death metal
death
band.
Glam death.
Glam death. Yeah, do it.
We can do it.
Wear some tight leather jeans.
You hear that, guys? Let's do it. Start a new genre, glam death.
Put some makeup on.
What was it? Girls, girls, girls. Girls, girls, girls.
Do it.
I'm down. I'm going to call the guys right now. We're going to have a bad meeting. We're going a new direction. Now. There's no...
You're shopping at Forever 21.
Now, everyone. What do you mean it doesn't fit you? Fit into it.
No, another big album that came out was Def Leppard's Hysteria album.
Oh, I love Def Leppard. Sucks what happened to the drummer.
Though. Yeah, Rick Allen. Mm-hmm. But you know what's funny? Rick Allen, he lost his arm in a car crash. And it took him 3 years to make their studio album, Hysteria. And that was like their biggest album. They designed an electric drum kit for him. Mm-hmm. And you know that just is it just, that one just ended up being their biggest album that they made. They made good music, and he was still able to play drums. I think he used his feet to replace his left arm. He used his feet.
I think so, but then again, it's just like they have very like devoted, loyal fans.
And yeah, like, but that album though that was you know, they have the song Animal. Mm-hmm. Pour some sugar on me.
Yeah, but it's like, what more motivation do you need to just prove to the world that, like, just because our drummer has one arm, like,
yeah,
it's like, you know, we're gonna show everybody what's up. Like,
just do some modifications.
Like, at least this modification, get this one back in his feet, we're gonna get it done.
Badass.
I could imagine that the drummer being, like, all kind of down on himself, and the band's like, nah, bro, you're not done. You're not done. Was it? I heard no bell. What is that, Rocky?
No.
I hear no bell. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I hear no bell.
Well, originally they were going to help him and have a backup drummer.
Mm-hmm.
But they were doing a tour in Ireland, and I was reading they couldn't fit the second drum kit on there on stage. And so he had to do it alone, and that's when they figured, oh, fuck, this guy can fucking play even with one arm.
Mm-hmm. That's dope. But it's just talent, bro. It's the passion in you, man. This doesn't matter. There's people that have no arms that play music.
Right? They always,
yeah. You find a way, man. You find a way. It's just a matter of passion.
What about the babes of the 80s?
Oh, man. All the girls back then.
It was Joan Jett.
It was, there you go, Joan Jett. She was from, The Runaways in the 70s. And then she was like, yeah, this shit's whack. And then she started her own band.
What, they were like only popular in Japan?
Like the biggest, Runaways? They loved the Runaways in Japan. I remember that. It was like all about Cherry Bomb. That was like their biggest hit, bro, Cherry Bomb. But like that band slowly like just broke apart. Like they tour everywhere, bro. Like they got sold out shows in America and everything, but I don't know. That band was like meant to fail because of the type of people that were in charge and everything. It was just, they were just going to abuse them until they like people just stopped listening to them. It was pretty much what they were going to do. And that's when Joan Jett's like, you know what? I'm going to do my own thing.
Dude, she was just pure rock and roll, come out with a leather jacket on, the black eyeliner, jet black hair.
Yeah, but she just had her own style, bro. She never fit in like that.
Dominated.
She didn't fit in the Runaways. I don't know.
I love rock and roll.
She did great by herself. It was a good move. She knew she had what to offer, bro. And she just took that chance to just
do. Dude, she was like a goddess back in the '80s, man.
I think she played. She loved to play with Motorhead.
Really? I remember. They go on tour together?
Yeah, a lot. Oh. Motorhead, Lenny, that fool. He was very supportive of the females in the music scene because you know how it's always been male dominant, so he was always like for it. He was like, "Yeah, get those girls out there."
I don't think there was anyone that was as hardcore as her back in the '80s.
I don't think
there was
so.
Heart. You know, they played good music, but they weren't like her.
No, there was other girl bands, but no one got the attention like she did. Like,
yeah, she was just.
But it was just good to have her because she did, which it helped a lot of girls pay. Like she paved some way for a lot of females.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it's cool. I mean, because I know a bunch of female singers that were out there, but of course, you know, not all of them were gonna get up there like she was. But there's this one band I used to listen to. It was called Chasten, and the singer, I think her name was. They used to call her Leatherface.
Oh shit!
Yeah, I don't know. She wasn't because she was butt ugly. like Sloth of the Goonies or some shit. But no, she called herself that. It's like the stage name.
She come out with the chainsaw or what?
No, but she can sing, bro. She can sing. But I'm just saying, it's just an example. There was a bunch of female singers back in the day, like those heavy metal and all that. But Joan Jett, she did her job, bro. She did her job well. You know, to portray the dominant female singer.
And you know what else she did well? She did a cover of Crimson and Clover, rock and roll cover. I'm going to go ahead and play that for you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
guys listen to a song, do you like the song just because it just sounds good? Or do you actually pay attention to what they're singing when it comes to like any genre of music, you know,
do you like the lyrics of the song? Is that what catches your ears or just the
or
sound?
Just the music? Yeah, it's just the sound of it. Does it like just please your ears? It's just the way their vocals are, you know, but do you actually pay attention to the lyrics? And, you know, we were just sitting down and we're just like, what is this song about from Joan Jett? Yeah,
Crimson and Clover. It was originally by Tommy James and the Shondells, but this is her cover. The word crimson is associated with the color red. Clover is associated, it's a species of flower. And so it's actually kind of poetic. So it actually means, the expression means losing someone you love, and you're at the stage when you're going through the emotions, and that's that means. I'm like, oh.
Well, it makes more sense when you actually like look into the depths of the lyrics.
You're kind
like,
of poetic.
Yeah, they're talking about something, but you're just like, most of the time when you sit there, you're just like, yeah, this song is dope. But you're just like, oh, it's actually depressing.
Right. Or it's like some of those songs are actually like, it sounds amazing, but like the lyrics are just stupid.
Or not. They're just
stupid as fuck.
Either amazing and super dark.
Right.
You're like, whoa, this song's evil, actually.
What was that? The pumped up kick song about, everybody loved that song and they had like a nice beat to it, but it's talking about some kids shooting up a school.
Oh, yeah, pretty much, man. But like, you know, it's good to actually sit down and.
Yeah, I like, you know, some artists, you know, that's what they, you know, that's their bread and butter is the lyrics.
Yeah, but sometimes they get looked over, man. So it's like right now, that's why we're like, you know, let's look up these lyrics. Let's see what it's all about. And yeah, man, it's just about like, you know, heartbreak and losing someone, and it's a trip. When you listen to the song, it's just like, yeah, this song is cool, but you're like, oh, it's actually a little sad. But it gives you a little insight, you know. So that, you know, when it comes to music, I know some lyrics are kind of like nonsense, but there is some passion to it. So maybe you guys should just take a look sometimes at the...
Yeah, listen to your fucking... Yeah, listen to the... Read the lyrics! Well, we can't have 80s week without 80s movies. Talking about 80s movies.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a lot of good movies from the 80s.
Oh, my God.
Even if they were cheesy, they were dope, man. You guys can't help to think that...
You know, they had... Indiana Jones came out during the 80s. Back to the Future... Mm-hmm.
Even some of the Star Wars movies came out, right?
No. Yeah, I think two of the Star Wars movies came out in the
80s. I know one of them came out in like 70s.
Like the late 70s, 79 or 77, I don't remember.
I don't know, but there was a lot of good movies in the 80s.
Goonies.
Hey, you guys.
Dude, that was so funny, man.
Baby Ruth.
He was like, here, are you hungry? And he just throws the fucking baby Ruth out of his head.
Chocolate bar at his head. He's just like, bass. I love the Goonies, man.
What was it? That one part when the brother was talking about how the mom dropped him on his head. And that's how he came disfigured.
He's like, he's like looking at his, like touching his face. Like, oh my God, no wonder. Oh, I love that movie. There's a lot of good movies that came out, man. I mean, I think a lot of those movies in the 80s paved the way for a lot of things, too.
No, I think...
Wasn't there a lot of mafia movies in the 80s? Or is it that 90s?
They had a couple mafia movies. You know, Scarface.
Oh, Scarface came out in the 80s, huh?
I think probably one of my favorite ones... I think I like this one more so than Scarface was... The Untouchables.
Oh, that came out... Oh,
yeah. About Elliot Ness when he tried to take out Al Capone.
Al Capone. Sounds familiar.
Another dope movie.
I'm trying to figure the face for it.
Robert De Niro played Al Capone. And who's the guy that did Dancing with the Wolves?
Dancing with the Wolves.
Kevin Costner, he played Elliot Ness.
It sounds super familiar.
I know
what you're talking about.
You remember the scene where Al Capone or Robert De Niro, he's like he's at a dinner table with all the mob bosses, and he's like having like a normal conversation, a very happy conversation. Then he just takes a bat and starts beating the shit out of one of them.
Yeah.
The back of their head.
Yeah.
And everybody at the table was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like the 80s, they had a lot of movies about the 30s and 50s and all those old mob bosses back then. They don't do a lot of movies like that anymore.
I think,
like,
Yeah, not too often.
Then we're drifting apart from that era a lot. Slowly and slowly.
Yeah, every once in a while they come out with a movie.
Yeah.
To remind us. I think they're actually doing an Al Capone movie, and I forgot. Oh, they are. What's his name is playing it?
It came out already, I think.
No,
I think it did. It came out like you have to pay for it.
Download it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, because it didn't come out in theaters, so they.
With the
guy who played Venom and
Tom.
Is it Tom?
Tom Hardy.
Is that him? Yeah. I think it came out already. I didn't even see it yet, though.
Yeah, I want to see that.
I think it's good to go back to those type of movies, man. What else came out in the 80s? I can't
remember. Blade Runner. Oh, that's probably my favorite movie
of all time. There we go. That movie
was way ahead of its time.
That movie left arguments for years.
Seriously, that movie was just so damn good. People just couldn't comprehend it.
It's just the writing was so good.
The writing was good, the acting, the whole story, even the special effects was insane for what it came out in 1981, I think.
It just made you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And it was meant to make you feel a certain way. It was meant to make you feel with questions. It was meant to make you feel they were trying to make you feel what those androids or whatever
the synthetics.
The synthetics.
Yeah. That was one of the first movies that talked about robots or synthetics having feelings. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They really try to make you feel how they felt. How he could have killed the Blade Runner, but he was like, how does it feel to be in fear? You know what I mean? And
yeah, he showed mercy at the very end, which showed that he was more human.
Yeah, and then he saved them, and then he just died. But he just to prove the point. Yeah. He's like, how does it feel to be scared? You know, it's like, how does it feel? Like, that's how we felt the whole time. And it's a trip. And it's like, who would put, you know, most movies have happy endings, you know? Right. Like, yeah, we did it. But Blade Runner is like, whoa, what just happened? It left you with a ton of questions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones. And then they, you know, it was a couple years ago, they came out with Blade Runner 2049, which blew my mind. I'm like, there's no way it can top Blade Runner, the original one. And 2049, it just totally reinvented that whole science fiction genre stuff. And with the Ryan Gosling,
it took
so long. That Mexican director, Dennis Venezuela, I think that's how it's pronounced. But
yeah, it took so many years, bro.
I know, and it knocked it out of the park. Knocked it out of the park.
It's a crazy movie, and I like it how the guy tied that world to Aliens, right?
Ridley Scott. He did Blade Runner and he did Alien.
That's one of the things I love about all that. But the 80s really brought back aliens and robots. And
oh, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies?
Oh, yeah.
Predator.
What was
Terminator?
Was Terminator was in the 80s?
The first one was in the 80s.
Wow. I know how they had those punk kids that were messing with him, right? He's like naked walking up to them.
Oh, yeah, in the very beginning.
Yeah, they're like, we got problems. He takes out a knife and everyone just shoves his hand through him. Blah.
I don't remember that part. That's
funny. Yeah, he just puts him and he just drops him. And the other guy had a leather jacket, so he just took his leather jacket. That's why he got his old leather outfit. But he took it from one of the punk rockers. Freaking Terminator. You can't go wrong with Skynet, man. Dun, 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 dun.
No? Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, man. I love Terminator. And Terminator's not movies, they're kind of confusing. But the original director finally came back.
Oh, is he working on the next one?
He worked on the last one that came out.
He didn't direct it, though. He was just, I think, producing.
Well, was he producing?
Yeah, he might have wrote it, too. But,
He did the first one, second one, and then he skipped all of them and then came back into this last one.
Yeah, I heard that one was better than the...
It's a confusing, but it's him. It makes me feel more like the way...
Original Terminator.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he kind of... Spoiler alert, you guys haven't watched it, but he kills off... what's his name? The boy? What's the little boy's name?
John Connor.
He kills him off right away.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
the beginning of the movie.
John Connor's back.
He's dead. He kills him right away. It basically was just his mother thought that she was safe with him, and Terminator came out of nowhere in between the crowd and just shotgun his ass.
Good times.
Fucking 80s movies, man.
Another favorite one of mine is Red Dawn.
Oh yeah, with Red Dawn.
Patrick Swayze and
the way
Charlie
he goes,
Sheen.
The way he goes out though.
Yeah. I remember watching it as a kid over and over. I thought it was so badass. And it was so controversial, the movie, when it came out, because it was during the Cold War era in the United States, us and Russia.
Was it the speech his dad gave him before he dies?
Oh, yeah. Not
Avenge me!
Oh, yeah, when we went to go see him in the concentration camps that they made.
Mm-hmm.
Don't cry. Don't shed no tear. You'll be strong.
This is like, he's like,
Avenge me!
Oh, like, that's sick.
But yeah, so that movie was super controversial because it came out during the Cold War era. And the whole movie is about Russia and Cuba invading the United States. And they're like, why are you making this movie at this time? You're just adding more fuel to the fire of what's going on. But then it ended up being like,
it was one of, really
one,
good
of the, one of the best movies of the 80s.
And they did a remake of it too.
That was trash. That was fucking trash, dude. You know, I just love like how, you know, the Russians and Cubans invade America, and like these high school kids, they like become, they go rogue.
Mm.
They call them Wolverines because they do Wolverines. Sneak attacks. Yeah.
Yeah,
they would do sneak attacks on the Russians and the Cubans.
It's a dope movie though.
I think that's all the time we have for this episode. I think we'll just end it there.
Yeah, we hope you guys like the way it sounds. We're trying out new equipment as well.
Yeah, we have this new Mono mic. I think it's a Hawaiian brand or something.
Yeah,
but so we're trying this out and seeing how it sounds.
Yeah, so hopefully you guys like it, you know. So we got this one last song
from the Breakfast Club.
Oh yeah.
Don't you forget about me. All right, you guys stay classy.
Later.
Your defenses.